The passage has been read to us, and on our second reading, we'll focus on that, the cost of following Jesus. Kuyabiza ukulandela uJesu. Jesus had been sentenced to death, crucified on the cross for sins of the world. He died and was buried. And everyone thought that was the end of the road for him and for his followers. But we see in chapter 20 of this very book that on the first day of the week, his tomb was empty. Jesus had risen. Sevukile uJesu uyaphila. He appeared to his disciples alive on two occasions before this one. Now for the third time, he appears to the portion of his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. John doesn't tell us why the disciples are back in Galilee, but other gospels, they tell us that Jesus had told them to return to Galilee where he would meet with them. If you read Mark 16, verse 7. The events of the past few days had been emotionally draining for the disciples. They saw their master being crucified and buried. It was very stressful. So a good night of fishing was probably what the doctor had ordered. Hence, they decided to go fishing. Remember, they were professional fishermen. Unfortunately for them, on that night, they caught nothing. But the turning point was in the morning when Jesus was standing on the shore. He directed them where to cast their nets. Then they caught a large number of fish, the Bible says. They knew it was the Lord. He then invited them to have breakfast on the beach. How I wish somebody would invite me to the breakfast on the beach. After they finished eating, then Jesus started a conversation with Peter, where he restored him, commissioned him for the ministry of the word, and invited Peter to follow him. Let's dig in into our passage. But before we dig in, let me tell you something that I saw in a Presbyterian church many, many years ago. The church called a conference. It was a men's conference, with the aim of challenging men to offer themselves for full-time ministry. The speakers were excellent. The sermons were on point and challenging. Some of the men were even crying non-stop. They were being challenged by the word. So at the end of the conference, the president stood up and stand behind the pulpit and called men who felt they want to offer themselves for full-time ministry. It was an altar call, he called it. So he called men and he said, come forward, I want to pray for those who feel they are being called to full-time ministry, those who feel they are being called to follow Jesus to this full-time ministry. He called and called and called. Nobody went forward. Then the president ended with these words, I give up. And he sat down and he was discouraged. After a 1 week of sermons, challenging sermons, and men were crying nonstop for 5 days, at the end, when it was the time to make a decision, to follow Jesus full-time ministry. No one wanted to do that. And the president gave up. A week later, he resigned from the ministry. Went to secular job. He was so, so disappointed. So today I want us to understand that if one has to follow Jesus, there are things that need to happen. First and foremost, there are questions that need to be answered. If you are to follow Jesus, there are questions that must be answered. See, verse 15 to 17. After breakfast, Jesus confronted Peter with a series of questions. I believe it was in the presence of everyone who was there. Simon, son of Jonah, Do you truly love me more than this? Simon kaJona, uyangithanda kunalaba na? The question is asked 3 times using 2 different Greek words for love. If you go back to chapter 18, verses 17 to 27, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Now he has to undo his denials by 3 public affirmations of his love for Jesus. But there are a few things to note on these questions. Jesus here doesn't address him as Peter, the rock. I don't know if you noticed that. He doesn't address him as Peter, for he had failed to live up to that name. He had denied Jesus 3 times. After he himself, he said he will never deny Jesus. Now Jesus wants to reinstate him to the mission ahead. He reminds him of his limitations. Simon, not trusting in Jesus, will always be Simon. But Simon trusting in Jesus is Peter the rock, whose leadership and witness the church was to receive. Key is trusting in Jesus, not denying him. Let's look at the more than this phrase. What does this refer to? Simon, do you love me more than this? The more than this phrase. What this refer to? It is possible, perhaps, that Jesus was referring to other disciples who were standing there. Among those disciples, there was Peter's own brother. Ingane kaMa. In other words, Simon, do you love me more than these disciples? Do you love me more than your friends and family? How can Jesus ask Peter this question? It was not fair, isn't it? It was Peter who boasted that though others may fall away, he will not. It was Peter who said he will lay down his life for Jesus. It was Peter who cut off the Malchus' right ear when others stood there and did nothing. It was Peter who jumped into the empty tomb when John, who arrived first, was standing outside. It was Peter who jumped into the boat when they realized it was Jesus standing on the shore. But now Jesus asked him, Simon, do you love me more than this? More than your friends, more than your family, more than your colleague. Do you love me more than this? You see, my dear friends, if we are to follow Jesus, and especially if we are to serve him full time in ministry, these questions need to be answered. Do we love or do you love Jesus more than your friends, family, and colleagues? It's very important to answer that question. If we are following Jesus, do we love him more than anything and everyone else? But again, this phrase, more than this, perhaps it was referring to the fishing gear that was still lying there. Peter, as I've said, was a professional fisherman. Fishing gear was his life and was his, it brought food on the table. But Jesus is asking, do you love me more than your job? But whatever it referred to, whether the friends or colleagues or family or fishing gear, but dear friends, it's important to make sure that nothing comes between you and Jesus. Whether it's friends, family, colleagues, or a career. When you are following Jesus, you must love him more than anything else on this world. You see, brothers and sisters, before Jesus can be followed, before Jesus can be saved, these things need to be addressed. These questions need to be answered. Do we love him? And even on top of that, sin in our lives need to be dealt with. Our love for Jesus need to be affirmed. Following Jesus, dear friends, we don't just follow Jesus because of the religion or the church, but we follow Jesus because we love him. Sifiso, you've just been made a deacon. I wonder if this question has been answered. Do you love Jesus more than anything else in this world? Even more than your beautiful wife's car. But for a few minutes, let's look at Peter's answers. Look at the answers. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yebo Nkosi uyazi ngiyakuthanda. But unlike his third answer, accompanied by grief. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know everything, Peter says. And Peter here affirms Jesus' omniscience. He knows everything, even things that are in the heart, deep down in his heart, Jesus knows. My dear brothers and sisters, may we remember that we are following Jesus who knows everything. Our hearts, our motives, even for entering ministry, Jesus knows. He knows, dear friends. He knows. There are questions to be answered, which I hope those questions have been answered. Number two, there are responsibilities to be accepted. With every question that Jesus posed, and Peter gave an answer, Jesus gave him a responsibility. He commissioned him to feed his flock. Three times he says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. Yondla izimvu zam. So it is clear, dear friends, that if Peter truly loved Jesus, he may also be concerned about his flock, the church that he died for. Jesus, as the true good shepherd, he appoints Peter and many others to be under shepherds. So Peter will demonstrate his love for Jesus by loving the flock, by feeding them with God's word. One commentator writes and says, Jesus is not a single person in a sense that he comes to us with attachments. He continues to say, he is a married person. He comes to us with a bride whom he loves and for whom he sacrificed himself for. End of quote. So, dear brothers, if Jesus went to the cross and died for his flock, it is important for ministers, for shepherds, to take their responsibilities very seriously. And their responsibility is nothing more than feeding the flock, taking care of the flock. If you have decided to answer the call and decided to follow Jesus, we must take the feeding of the flock very seriously. It must take first priority, regardless of what the situation is. Preaching and teaching, proclaiming the word of God is very important. It's a matter of life and death. You see, we live in South Africa, and in some communities, ministers are called to be involved on some issues of social justice. Sometimes are called to lead some community organizations. And sometimes are called to be mediators between the fighting parties. All these things, as much as they are good, but dear brothers, the feeding of the sheep comes first. It is important to proclaim Christ and him crucified. As I've said, it's a matter of life and death to proclaim Jesus as the only way of salvation. That is why Jesus says to Peter three times, feed my sheep, proclaim my word. In the Old Testament reading, we saw that God says, if I say to you, telling the prophet, warn that evil man and you don't warn him and he dies in his sins, his blood is on you. That's how serious it is. If you warn him and he refuses to repent and he dies in his sin, at least his blood is on him. So the preaching of the word. You see, brother Sifiso, it's a great privilege that God has called us into ministry and has entrusted his flock to us. All that we need to do is to take our responsibility very seriously. I wonder if I can ask you again, Sifiso, as you have been ordained. Are you here because you want to feed God's sheep? Or are you here because the clerical title gives you some power and prestige in some communities? Are you here because we want to be celebrities? Or are we here because we want to proclaim Christ as the only way of salvation? So Peter understood this clearly, because immediately after the Holy Spirit has come in Acts 2, Peter stood up and preached. He presented Christ as the Messiah. He said Messiah was crucified by evil men, but God raised him on the third day, ascended into heaven. He then called all his hearers to repent and be baptized. And if you read the New Testament, you see that the rest of his life, Peter preached Christ as the only way of salvation for all people. In his first letter, chapter 5, he exhorts all the fellow shepherds of God's work, of God's flock, to serve willingly, without compulsion, and to do with not for shameful gains. If you want quick bucks, go in Marikana. Not in the church. Why? Why should we serve? Because when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, comes again, he will reward with unfading crown of glory all those who served faithfully. So those words were spoken to Peter by our Lord Jesus are still spoken today to all those who have answered the call to follow Jesus. Feed my sheep. In other words, dear brothers, seek out and search for the sheep in this wicked world. Feed them the precious word of God. Supply them with bread of life that one eats and live forever. Fight a good fight. Sometimes we think our love for Jesus is seen in apologetic debates, nor in professing faith, nor in fighting for a good cause, nor seeking preeminence over others. But dear friends, love for Jesus is seen in walking like him, seeking and serving what was lost. If you truly love Jesus, so go and do likewise. Responsibilities to be accepted. Number 3, there is a cross to be carried. A cross to be carried. After Jesus had restored Peter, he commissioned him to be a shepherd. Now he confronts him with the cost. He prophetically prepares him for his eventual death. Peter was to serve into an old age, and in the end, he was going to die with his hands outstretched. This was the way to convey a notion of crucifixion. So Peter was to live a life of persecution, imprisoned, and would eventually die a violent death. He was going to live his life carrying the cross up to his death. And that death was going to glorify God. Jesus had already said that if anyone wants to follow him, must deny himself and take up the cross and follow him daily. So, dear brothers and sisters, the path of following Jesus is the path of the cross. It is important to note that the cross is to be carried daily. It's a 24/7 commitment. You don't carry a cross on Saturday evening and take it off on Sunday evening. You see, dear brothers, following Jesus is not easy. And doing the work of a minister is not cheap. It involves the cross. You must be prepared to go the way of the cross. Be prepared to suffer. In my experience, again, of 17 years in ministry, I've noticed that it's very tough to be a minister of the gospel. It is tough to be a shepherd of God's flock. There is opposition, and sometimes that opposition comes from within. There will be accusations. You will be called names. As an evangelical minister, you are always accused of arrogance. There will be more tears than laughter. In most nights, you go to bed with tears and have sleepless nights. Your hair turned gray quickly in the ministry. Why? Because there is a cross that must be carried. And this cross has to be carried daily, no matter how heavy it is. We must be prepared to suffer. We must be prepared to face difficulties and struggles so that God may be glorified and that many may be saved, may come to know the truth. Be prepared to suffer for what you believe. Be prepared to suffer for the opportunity to proclaim and announce Jesus as the only way. So Peter lived and served his master for 3 decades with this prediction hanging over his head. D.A. Carson says, in that time, Peter came to recognize that whenever any Christian follows Jesus to suffering and death, it is the means of bringing praise to God. The extra biblical sources, though not strong on this, they tell us that under Emperor Nero, Peter was crucified and he asked to be nailed upside down, refusing to die like his master. The words of Jesus were fulfilled. You will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and will carry you where you do not want to go. And God was glorified. Another commentator again, Bruce Miles, says, death for Christ is the door to living with Christ. Ukufa ufela uJesu kumnyango wokuthi uyophila kanye naye. So my brothers, Fiso, as you have been ordained, as you are entering ministry as a deacon, you must know that there is a cross to be carried. You must be willing to carry that cross for the glory of God, so that you say like Paul, it's not longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. When Jesus had said all these things to Peter, he said to him at the end of verse 19, follow me. Follow me. And Peter didn't refuse. What did he do? He followed Jesus, knowing exactly that there is a cost that is involved. Knowing exactly that he's following Jesus into the way of the cross. Knowing exactly that as he's following Jesus, death and a violent death is awaiting for him ahead. Then he followed. He followed Jesus knowing exactly that he cannot be a celebrate preacher. You know these preachers that we see on TV, the celebrities. They behave like celebrities, they walk like celebrities, they are the man of the hour, the man of the moment. He knew, Peter, that the man of the hour and the man of the moment was Jesus himself. And he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus knowing that he was going to serve, carrying the cross right up to the end. And at the end, God will be glorified. Is a cross, dear brothers, to be carried. And as you enter this ministry's feast and scar, you must be prepared to carry that cross. Be prepared for sufferings and difficulties in the ministry. Be prepared sometimes to go to bed with tears. Be prepared to suffer and not know if at the end of the year you'll get your 13th check. You should not be motivated that there is easy money here. There is no money. More tears than laughter. But why do we save? So that the name of God may be glorified. Number four and lastly, there is a destination to look forward to. Verse 22. Lastly but not least, Jesus mentions his return in verse 22, which is our Christian hope. In this gospel, of course, John had written with conviction that Jesus will one day return in a tangible majesty. This Jesus who came from the Father, who went to the cross, who died for the sins of the world, who was buried, but on the third day was raised from the dead, he ascended into heaven, now seated on the throne, will one day come back with glory. He will come to complete his work of salvation, to judge the living and the dead, to set up the everlasting age of glory. And when he comes, he will reward with unfailing crown of glory to everyone who served him faithfully. My dear brothers and sisters, no matter how heavy the cross it is, we must always keep on keeping on, serving faithfully, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearance of our great Savior in God, Jesus Christ. We must always be looking forward to the day when we'll hear the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet, when we'll hear the voice of the archangel, when we'll see Jesus come with glory. That is the destination we're looking forward to. We serve when we don't complain, looking forward to the day when our great Savior, the chief shepherd, appears to judge the living and the dead. When we will stand before him, when we will hear the words when he says, "Well done, ye faithful servants, enter into the glory of your Lord." We're looking forward to that day. These things, dear brothers and sisters, are written so that we may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I wonder if we believe that. There are questions, of course, to be answered. Do you truly love Jesus, the Son of God? There are responsibilities to be accepted, that we feed and take care of his flock. Then there is a cross to be carried. The road is tough, lonely, and sorrowful. There will be pains and tears, but be encouraged, because we are looking forward to the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're sitting here and you're asking yourself, why would Peter and his colleagues give up everything, give up their lives, risk everything they had, be prepared to die no matter what? Why would they do that? Why would they put themselves in danger? Why? Because Peter and his colleagues and many, many others we have served and we are serving, we are still in the ministry today. They are doing this because they are convinced that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Lord and Savior of the world. They were prepared to lose everything just for a privilege of proclaiming to the Jews and Gentiles, to the rich and poor, to educated and uneducated, to young and old, just an opportunity to proclaim and announce that Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much once again for a privilege of meeting in this fashion with your people, of sharing your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that we are in this ministry in the privilege of serving you. We pray that as we hear your word, that we may be encouraged, that we may continue to serve you, that we may continue to proclaim and announce in this world that Jesus is the only Savior, that Jesus is Lord above all. Lord, be with us as we depart to our homes, to our respective workplace. Be with us. Give us courage to announce and proclaim Jesus as Lord. We pray again for Sifiso and Ska as they enter ministry, as they serve you in churches that they will be appointed to. Be with them. Give them courage. Give them wisdom. Always, Lord, give them words, kind words that they will say. But Lord, let your spirit not depart on them, and they may always serve you and serve you well until that day when you call them home or come again. Be with us now as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.